Morning, which is very humbling to me, seeing as I'm just a normal guy. But it just amazes me, and I'm just so grateful that the Lord would include us or use us in anything of any importance. But yes, let's start in prayer. Dear Father, just thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for your hand on our lives, Father. Thank you that we have your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you that we can live a life in your Spirit, Lord. And with you, we can create good fruit and lasting fruit, Father. Just open our spiritual eyes today, Lord, to the truth you want to share with us, Lord, to the truth you want us to get, Lord. And agree with me, church, if you agree. Just open our hearts, open our spiritual eyes, Lord, to see what you want us to see, Lord. Refine us, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. So we're going to continue with the theme of the Holy Spirit versus the flesh that Jeremy was talking about last week. I felt also led to speak on this, so I think the Lord is really trying to teach us and get this into our mind and in our head and refine us in this way. So that's what we're going to talk about, living by the flesh versus living by the Spirit. So I grew up in church. For most of my life, being in different churches, I noticed looking back now, I would often, not often, but every now and again, kind of hear this mindset and saw this taught, and it went something like this. You're a Christian now, but even though you're a Christian, you're still going to make mistakes, we're still going to sin. We're still going to fall short, but just try and do your best. And don't be too hard on yourself. But one day we're in heaven, we won't have to worry about it anymore, and everything will be okay. I would often hear kind of that thinking or that message maybe to a new believer's class or to youth especially, it would seem like. And maybe y'all didn't have those experiences, but it seemed like the churches I ended up in kind of, I would kind of hear that. Does that sound familiar at all, or is that just me? Okay. So I actually, even though I remember thinking about that and hearing that at the time, and that not really sitting quite well here, and I didn't exactly understood why. I should have paid attention more to that, but I would kind of intellectually, okay, yeah, that's logical, that makes sense, all right. That really led me down the wrong path of trying to serve the Lord a lot of times with the power of the flesh instead of depending on the Spirit to serve the Lord, trying to do right with the power and the wisdom of the flesh. So that's what we're going to get into today. So first we're going to, if y'all come along with me, to 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. And it's not that that phrase was in, or that way of thinking is entirely wrong, but it's very much, at best, a half-truth. We still sin, we still fall, but there's a lot more we're called to. 2 Corinthians 5:16-21. Now read it for us. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's a whole nother topic right there, but that God's including us in the ministry of reconciliation is awesome. That is, in Christ, God's reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So in these verses, we clearly see that although that way of thinking was very much, oh, you're still human now. You're still going to make mistakes. Scripture is telling us that we're not human. We are transformed, that we are a new creation. And in fact, we're being turned into the righteousness of God. You see the difference here? You see that big contrast that we are no longer human, that we are a new creation. So let's continue in Scripture. Let's move to Colossians 3, 1 through 10. And if you all turn with me there. Colossians 3, 1 through 10. Start reading here. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So our old self has died. When Christ, who is your life, appears, when you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, that which is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. Speaking of the last day when Jesus comes back. And these you too once walked. Then you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So we see we have a new self now. We are being not encouraged, but we are being commanded to walk away from sin, to put to death the sin of our life, the old way we used to live, and put on the new self, who we are in Christ. Does that make sense? We get that? Now we're going to... let's move on, continuing in Scripture. So we see that have been transformed, and we see we're being commanded to live a life very different than what we lived before, right? So let's move to Galatians 5:16 through 25. And we can look at how we do this. Galatians 5:16 through 25. So I want y'all to picture yourselves. And I think often I've fallen for this, and maybe you have as well. Often I've identified myself through the eyes of my flesh and through the eyes of my sin and failure. But I want us to think, okay, here's Adam in the middle. Here's my flesh over here, and here's the spirit. My identity is not my flesh. My identity is not my sin. Scripture says my identity is now in Christ, that I'm a new creation. So I've been identifying myself incorrectly. This is just a part of me that I'm wearing, right? This is just part of me that I dwell in, but it's not Adam. It's not who Adam is. Adam's a new creation, right? So I want us all to be thinking like that, separate that Adam, who we are, is separate from our flesh. All right, as we move forward. All right, Galatians 5:16 through 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. We see that? That's the solution right there. That's how we can move away from the flesh and please God, that we walk in the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. So here's the flesh over here. Here's us in the middle. Here's the Spirit over here. So what's the solution? We walk with the Spirit and we leave the flesh behind, right? But I say, walk in the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. So our flesh and our spirit are always in conflict, right? This is why we fail when we try and serve the Lord with our flesh. We can, okay, I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to use my wisdom to serve him. But I'm going to use the flesh, which is selfish and using manly wisdom and runs out of strength and self-absorbed and prideful. I'm going to try and use that flesh to serve the Lord. Let's see how we have a conflict there. Let's see. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, divisions, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that you who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See that? You who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. See, we miss this part, don't we, a lot of times. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Well, sounds like God has a word for us. All right, so do we see that, church? So our solution to, we're being commanded to walk away from sin, to leave that life behind, to not identify in our old way of life, but now identify with Christ. The solution to how to do that is not using the strength of the flesh to try and somehow accomplish that, but to use the strength of the Holy Spirit who's right here, who's been sent to help us to accomplish those things. All right, so now we're going to look at some examples of men in Scripture that kind of show them before the Holy Spirit and talk about them after the Holy Spirit and the transformation they had in their life. And the real easy one here is Peter, the disciple Peter. Now, the disciples, most of them are young. Peter, and a lot of them, Peter, for sure, was uneducated. He was just a fisherman. He wasn't educated in the law and in the scriptures or anything like that. He was just a normal working class young man, probably a teenager. God calls him. He follows the Lord. With him and other disciples, we see him stumbling along the way, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time, getting himself in trouble. Remember, he's young. Think of probably older than Isaac, but maybe Reed's age or younger. Where this is a great example of this is where Jesus is in the garden. They're praying. The Roman soldiers and the servants of the high priest come to arrest Jesus. And Peter, with his wisdom and heart to do what was right and try and do the best thing, in that moment, he decided with man's wisdom, with flesh's wisdom, that, okay, time to neutralize the enemy. So he pulls out a knife and tries to, I guess, go after everyone, the Roman soldiers, but he manages to take off one ear of one of the servants, the servant of the high priest. So I thought about that, and we want to, like, laugh at Peter and, like, oh, that doesn't make sense. But I'm pretty sure some of the guys in this room, including myself, if we were in that situation, we'd been like, okay, it's go time. Let's do this. And we would try to engage and do something dumb like that. But that wasn't God's plan, was it? So Jesus has to step in and quickly quell the situation so Peter doesn't get arrested or killed right there by the Roman soldiers. I'm guessing what might have happened. So God heals the high priest's servant's ear, killing all the evidence against Peter right there, saving Peter's butt, in my opinion, pretty much, and quells that situation. Hours later, we see Peter, Jesus is arrested. He's taken to the high priest's property, his house, to get questioned by the father-in-law of the high priest. Peter comes, and with that same heart of wanting to do right, that same desire of wanting to do right, remember, picture yourself in the middle. Here's the flesh over here, right? Peter starts getting questioned by the servant girl. You're not with these guys, are you? You're not with them. And the strength of Peter's flesh runs out. Even though he has the heart to serve the Lord, he just showed that he did it wrongly, but he showed that he was seemingly willing to die hours before for Jesus. His strength runs out, and, oh, no, I'm not with him. Oh no, he's scared of that servant girl and what she would say. So we see his flesh failed him, even though he had the heart to try and do what was right. So we move on from that. Jesus dies. He's raised again. We now have salvation. Jesus comes. He's with the disciples for a little while. Goes up to the right hand of the Father. The disciples are told to wait in Jerusalem. They go into the upper room to wait for the helper. They don't know exactly what that means, but the helper is supposed to come, as Jesus had told them before. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit comes down. It fills everybody. It fills all the disciples. They start speaking in tongues and other languages. They go outside. People are wondering what's going on. They're hearing them in their own native language because the Holy Spirit's working. Suddenly, this same Peter that's still uneducated, that's still probably a teenager, starts preaching to everyone, and now he's suddenly what looks like this master theologian that knows the right thing, that has all the courage, that has all the strength and discipline to do what he's supposed to do. So he starts preaching to everybody, people about the way and what had happened, and why Jesus died and who Jesus was. People start getting saved left and right. And we see this massive transformation in Peter. Because although Peter wanted to do what was right before, he did not have the strength to carry it out. But the Holy Spirit was given, and now we have the strength and wisdom to carry it out, right? Does that make sense? And that's just so beautiful to me because I look at that and I see Peter's not different than any of us. Like, Peter's our brother, and he's gone and gone to sleep a long time ago, right? We didn't know him personally, but he's our brother, and he was just another Christian like us. With the same, like, our culture is different now, technology's different, but the same problems of the flesh were there back then. The same Holy Spirit is with us now. Do we see that? Do we see that this directly applies to us? Then we see Peter and John and others going and preaching in the temple every day. They get arrested by the soldiers of the high priest, brought before the high priest and questioned, commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And remember, Peter, weeks or maybe it was months ago now, but months ago was scared talking to that servant girl. Now Peter's not scared anymore. He's telling the most powerful Jewish leadership right there, the high priest, that, no, we can't not talk in the name of Jesus. Are we to obey you, man, or are we to obey God? Do you see the stark contrast? Peter was still the same guy, and his flesh was still there, but he was choosing to walk in step with the Spirit. You see that difference? And we see his mindset and understanding was correct, too. One of my favorite verses is, in that meeting with the Jewish leadership, when they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, the leadership had Peter and John beat up and punished and then let them go. Their mindset, when they left, their correct now thinking with the revelation of the Holy Spirit with them, mindset was they started praising the Lord that they were counted worthy to suffer for his namesake. Remember old Peter, he couldn't have grasped that at all. But now he sees reality, he sees what's important. And the stark contrast there is just beautiful to me. Let's move to another example. Paul, or at that time Saul. So Saul was educated. Saul was taught the scriptures. I forget his teacher that he was taught under Gamaliel. Paul had the most high education one could get, pretty much, as a young Jewish man. He was also a Roman citizen, highly educated. So he went to the seminary of that time, right? So we see, though, Paul with zealousness for the Lord, a desire to do right, and the education in the scriptures. We see Paul, okay, that means I must persecute these guys that are called the way, these new Christians. So that's what Paul's logic, even though he was educated, led him to do. So the education of the scriptures and how he was raised up in his status didn't allow him to still serve God correctly. It wasn't a substitute to serve God because the flesh still doesn't know the right thing to do, right? So Paul wanted to do right, but he still used his own logic and wisdom to determine, oh, that means I must persecute the Christians. Wanting to serve the Lord, right? So luckily, the Lord had grace on Paul, opened his eyes, and then we see now that Paul's eyes are open to what he was doing, he uses that same zealousness for the Lord, walking with the Spirit, and creates much fruit in his life. We see him going here and there, and the Spirit leading him to this town and not that town, the Spirit having him talk to these people and not those people, and that kind of thing. Do you see that stark contrast that Peter was uneducated, Paul was educated. It didn't matter what they could gain in earth. Not that it's bad to be educated or to go to seminary or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But that wasn't enough. We need the Spirit if we want to truly please God, right? This is what's so amazing. We not only have salvation in the Lord, he gave us his Holy Spirit. When our flesh is too afraid to do what's right, the Spirit is never afraid. When we don't know the right solution to a problem, whatever problem in life, big problem, small problem, the Spirit always knows the best solution, and he's here with us. When we run out of endurance and strength to carry on through life, through what God's asking us to do, or just through hardships in life, the Spirit never runs out of strength and endurance. Do we see that? When we are unable to love, the Spirit loves perfectly. Isn't that amazing? So let's talk about how we make this practical, or some practical example of that I have found in my life after the Lord has opened my eyes to the right thinking. So like anyone, me and my wife will get into arguments sometimes, disagreements sometimes. And when that happens, usually my flesh, remember my flesh is separate from who I am because my identity is now in Christ, my flesh will start feeling frustrated, maybe start to get a little bit angry, maybe start to get a little bit prideful and thinking, oh, wait, I'm right in this situation. Forget altogether that I love my wife at all often and starts to get selfish. So in the past, what I would do is I was like, okay, I want to react in the right way. I want to treat my wife right. So I'll use my selfish flesh to try and figure out how to do that and then try and employ my flesh to be patient towards my wife. Employ my flesh, who is selfish and against the Lord, as we learned in Scripture, who is contradictory to the Spirit, contradicting the Spirit. I'll use my flesh to try and serve my wife and love her. And we see at best that yields very mixed results, right? And even at very best, if we discipline our flesh perfectly and everything, we still can't love perfectly, because only the Spirit knows how to love perfectly. Now, what I've been employing, and I don't always get this right, because where I get this wrong is I miss that there's a decision there. A situation will pop up, an argument or disagreement will pop up, or whatever comes in life will pop up, and I don't stop and see that, okay, flesh or spirit, there's a decision to be made there, and I default to the flesh, which we're supposed to put off and put to death that old man, right? That's where I see it. I can mess up today. But what I've been doing, and I'm seeing that I'm sinning quite a bit less because of this, I stop and say, okay, my flesh is still feeling all this way, and it always is going to feel this way because it's the flesh, and it's always in conflict with the Spirit. But here's the Spirit over here. Lord, thank you that you sent the Spirit. You have the Spirit here with me. He has all the love for my wife. He has all the understanding and patience for my wife. I submit to the Spirit. I don't submit to the flesh. And when I pray that, oh, suddenly the fruits of the Spirit naturally start flowing out because that is our identity now. That is who we are now. So love for my wife flies, just flows out. Patience for my wife just flows out. Insight in how to love my wife well just flows out, where before I'd be trying to accomplish that with the flesh. You see kind of the huge difference there. Another example is just practical example is raising kids. So maybe my young one will lie to me or something like that. So I just want, my flesh just wants to deal with the problem quickly. I know I have to address it and I can't let that go on. So my flesh is just like, hey, don't lie. You shouldn't be lying. Or maybe at best, hey, that's going to mess up our relationship. I need to be able to trust you. Don't lie. Or I can stop and say, okay, Lord, that's weird. That's unlike him that he would be lying. What's really going on here, Spirit? And let the Spirit direct me with his wisdom and his patience and not just trying to solve the problem real quick. And the Spirit opens up my eyes. Oh, he's not getting enough daddy time. I need to be spending more time with him. Or maybe, or whatever. And God gives me a download of what the root cause of that problem is. Not that we don't address the sin, because we still address the sin, right? But God can give us wisdom to deal with situations that we can in no way figure out on our own, right? So I've seen him do that a lot. When I stop, see that there's a choice, allow the Lord, humble myself to the Spirit instead of to the flesh, and then let the Spirit lead me. You see how that works? Yeah, so it's definitely making me a better parent and hopefully definitely a better husband too. Not hopefully, but definitely. All right, let's move to, we're going to reread it again. John 15, 1 through 5. Just, Lord, just open our spiritual eyes. Just open our hearts to this, Lord. Let this not just go into our heads, but go into our hearts, Father. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the words I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. We cannot serve the Lord. We cannot please him. We cannot walk away from sin, put sin to death in our life if we're not walking with the Spirit, if we're not walking with Jesus, right? We can't do it under our own strength. And that's what the Lord's really has really convicted me of and really taught me. The best we can do is bring the desire to do right to the table, but we need God's strength to actually accomplish that, right? Just like in Peter and Paul's life and all of our lives. So what if someone says, well, I don't know if I even have that desire to bring to the table, which I've been in that situation before, like, Lord, I want to serve you, but there's this and that, and I don't know. And when I was honest with myself, I was saying, oh, I'm being selfish, or I'm submitting to the flesh. Do I really have that desire to serve him? What's my motivation to serve him? So I've been praying, Lord, show me my motivation. Show me the reality of what it is. I want to have my first love. Here is that reality, that the last day is coming. Jesus is coming back. On that day, he is going to judge the enemy and his angels, right? The enemy's angels are his enemy, but Satan and his angels. But who else is his enemy? We are his enemy. Humans are his enemy. We are against him, too. He's coming to judge the world as well. And we deserve that justice. God is just. That means he has to judge the world. That means he has to punish man, not just the enemy. Do we get that reality? I don't always get that reality, but when God brings that to my head, it really brings into focus how good his grace is and how good what Christ did is. We deserve death. And Lord, open our eyes to this, not just our minds, Lord, just open our eyes more to this truth, Lord. We deserve death and punishment because we are human, because we are of Adam and Adam's sin. We deserve death just as much and punishment just as much as Satan and his angels do. Do we get that? So
The end of this world is coming. The last day is going to come, and this Earth spaceship is going to burn, right? It's going to judge. And there's one way out of there. God did not give up his justice or give up who he was, but he loved us when we were still sinners so much that he sent his son, the first in human form, to live as a human, to live perfectly without sin, to punish him for our sin, for our trespasses. So all God's justice, all God's wrath against injustice fell on Jesus on the cross. Do we see that? Do we see that we deserve that? While we were still sinning, he sent his son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Will not perish, but shall have eternal life. That's our only way off of this burning earth, right? That's our only way to escape this judgment. So not only did God give us this salvation, he wants to include us in this mission of reconciliation, to reconcile the world to himself. So first he saves us sinners, which if we look at ourselves correctly, if we allow God to reveal it to our spiritual eyes and heart, we're murderers. We're bad. We're broken compared to him, right? Through his justice, he has to punish us. But he gave us a way where there seemingly was no way, through Jesus, through the cross. That is our motivation. Once I don't just get that in my head, but my spiritual eyes really see that, the gratefulness and the thankfulness comes that, oh yes, Jesus, I deserve death, but I wasn't able to do anything, but you provided a way by punishing your son. God didn't give up his judgment. Judgment was still handed out on his son who was perfect in place of us. Jesus' love for us, what Jesus did on the cross is our motivation. That's what motivates us. We can be motivated by that. What we do here on earth is going to have an effect on us in heaven and all that kind of and those stuff, but our main motivation has to be that Jesus' love motivates us, and we deserve death. His kindness leads us to repentance, right? So let that be your motivation. So I think that's all I have for us. Just get that in your head, my brothers and sisters, to walk in the Spirit. That is our identity now. Our identity is not in the flesh. It's not who we were. Our identity is Christ. We are a new creation. We are being transformed literally into God's children, right? We are no longer human. That let us put that to death. Let that die in us as we make the flesh a slave. The flesh is still our feelings. The flesh is still going to feel all these things. But regardless, what our feelings are feelings, what the flesh is feelings, the desires of the flesh, we still are in the middle here and have a choice to walk in line with the Spirit. So let's do that, Lord. Lord, just let me pray for us. And if you agree with this, just pray with me. Just pray with me, brothers and sisters. Lord, forgive me for trying to follow you with the power of the flesh, Lord. Forgive me for even taking your grace for granted, Lord, and what you did with us. We deserve death and punishment, Father. Just thank you, Lord, that not only do we have salvation, we have the helper with us, so now we have the ability to please you and serve you and partner with you, Lord. And not only that, we are being transformed from human to the children of God. Just like your son, our oldest brother, Jesus, Father. Just, Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your grace on our lives. Thank you for providing a way to save us from our destruction, Father. Just thank you, Lord. Lord, just forgive us and open our eyes to the truth, Lord. Brothers and sisters, we don't have an excuse. What kind of excuse can we give the Lord for continuing to walk in sin? What kind of excuse can we give the Lord? We have the power of the Holy Spirit now not to sin. we don't have an excuse not to put to death the old things of this world and walk in the Spirit, walk in obedience with Him, walk in strength when our flesh is fearful. We have everything we need to do and be everything He created us to be and has plans for us to be. So let's walk forward without excuses for our sin, putting our flesh to death. Walk forward with Him, creating much fruit. Because when we are with Him, we can create much fruit for Him, lasting fruit. When we are apart from Him, we can do nothing. Thank you, brothers.